Please turn with me tonight to Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1. Titus, chapter 1, and verse 2. Verse 2. Just for the sake of context, verse 1 and 2. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. And verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God, that cannot lie. So my title tonight is really from these four words, the God of all truthfulness. God of all truthfulness. It's very easy to overlook, as you read Titus chapter 1, to overlook these four words. But I believe they make a world of difference between the Christian faith and every other faith. The God that cannot lie. So there is great comfort in these four words. I believe they are a fountain and a source of assurance. There is also a sure, solid, and stable foundation in them. Why? We live in a culture of so many deceptions. We live in a world of millions of lies, disappointments. But God, we are told, cannot lie. A culture of uncertainties. My dear friends, God's reliability, His credibility, His fidelity, His integrity, His immutability, God cannot change, it's impossible, are totally and absolutely unshaken and unshakable. And I will do my best to demonstrate that in our sermon tonight. The God of all truthfulness. His word cannot be broken. Do you know that at least 4,000 times the Bible says, I am the word of God. So the word of God cannot be broken. Thus said the Lord, thousands and thousands of times in the word of God. So God cannot lie. And we remember from the sayings and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, so many times we are studying in our morning services the Gospel of John. But 25 times in the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke and said, verily, verily, most assuredly, in the most solemn way, there is no doubt about it. But also he said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in John 17:17, he also said in his high priest prayer, sanctify them by thy word is truth. So, my dear brothers and sisters, what is the truth? Where is it? Where can we find it? It's just here in front of you. You don't have to speculate. You don't have to go anywhere else. It's just here before you, in front of you. And I have five questions to explain the God of all truthfulness. The first one, who is God? The second one, what did God promise? The third one is, when did He promise it? And the fourth one, how in the world is He going to fulfill His promise? And fifthly, what does God require from us? What does God expect from you and me? What does God want from you? Actually, you are here listening to the word of God. After all the questions explaining the truthfulness of God before you, what must I do in order to relate to the living God? So the first question is, who is God? And we are given here in these four words, God that cannot lie. It's like a window. A window is opened really to give us a then an aspect of the character of God. There are many things God has, I believe, hundreds of attributes. We can spend really the rest of the night listing them for you and me. But we know God can do all things. God is powerful. God is all-knowing. God is ever-present, everywhere, anywhere, at the same time. God knows it all. But there are things also God cannot do. It is an impossibility just because of his godly character, because of his being, because of his nature. And we know God cannot die. He is immortal. But God also cannot look into iniquity. God cannot look into sin. God abhors sin. He hates it. That's why when we say actually God is holy, it doesn't just mean God doesn't sin, but he's separated from sin. There is an abyssal pit between gulf between God and sin, separated. But God cannot change. The immutability of God, he cannot change. And Bible says also, God cannot tempt anyone, he's not tempted. And he cannot tempt anyone else. But here, we are given something really amazing. God cannot lie. He cannot issue a lie. And I don't have time to read you the verses, but if you are taking notes, it's very good later. I could mention to you Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man, nor a son of Adam to lie or to repent. What he says, certainly he will do. Same is said in 1 Samuel chapter 15. God is not a man to lie. And same again is repeated for you and me in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18. It is an impossibility for God to lie. So God cannot lie. But in opposition, the contrast, I want to draw the contrast. This is God. There is that impossibility for God to lie. But how is Satan called in the Bible? I hope you believe that there is Satan. He's a being. He's a spirit. And he is called the father of all lies. Sometimes he's so crafty. He's so cunning. He's able to disguise himself as an angel of light. And you know, his scheme, the stratagem of Satan, as I said, so crafty and so cunning, he has the main question by which actually he twists us and pervades the word of God in our hearts is from the beginning. You remember the question, I'm sure if you have ever read the Bible, most of people have read the Bible, but from the beginning he will say to your heart and my heart, to make us to provocate that doubt in our hearts. Has God really said that? That's his scheme. But my dear friends, when you look at the Christians, I'm not inventing that. It's in verse 12, Titus chapter 1, verse 12. The Christians, like our world, how are they described? Look at, this is one of them saying these things about his own people. Don't think Paul had a bad day on that day, and this is how he is given such a hard and harsh words about the Christians. But in verse 12, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Christians are always liars. But God cannot lie. The Christians, like our world, here in our world, we are liars. That's the description God is giving about you and me in the Bible. Naturally, we are born liars. Naturally. You ask every parent. That's why even you, sometimes the children will ask their own parents, but mom, but dad, you have promised to do that. But we know day after day, there are so many promises that are broken. Why can't we keep our promises? What's the matter with us? So the Christians, like our world, even their God, Zeus or Jupiter, in the Roman equivalent of their God, Jupiter, is a liar. He is a deceiver. but in opposition, our God, the God of the Bible, cannot play a lose with the truth. Never, never and ever. Why do people lie? There is so much dishonesty. There is so much disloyalty. I'm sure some of you here could witness about that. You can see it daily. There is so much duplicity. There is so much insincerity. There is so much cheating. There is so much betrayal. Why are all these things? Why can't we love one another as God has loved us and commanded us to love one another? Why? Because this is the description of us. We are the complete opposite with God. So God cannot lie. And you know, people lie right in your face. And even when they speak the truth, people embellish it. They make it colorful and they exaggerate matters. Why do people lie? God is the very opposite. He is the God of truth and nothing but the truth. He is holy. He is high. He is lifted up. He is pure. He is perfect, but that's not the case of you and me. We are not perfect, we are not pure, we are not lifted up, we are not high, we are not holy, we are so small. Our sins are crushing us, the mountain of sins upon you and me. Oh, the picture is certainly gloomy, the picture is certainly dark, but this is the description Bible makes of all of us. But in opposition, God, that cannot lie. Why do people lie? We know there are white lies, there are sweet lies, and there are some religions, I'm sure I don't need to tell you, to name them. There are some religions, they even have what they call holy lies. It is holy to lie, it is good to lie, as long as that will serve your interest. But God, the real God, the only God, God cannot lie. It is an impossibility. We lie to gain a favor. We lie to impress. We lie to hide. We lie to betray. We lie to win an argument. So many excuses we are given in order to utter lies. As I said, we are naturally born liars, smooth talkers. We only justify ourselves. Men, Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1, men have changed the truth of God in lie. They suppress it. Can I tell you what is the biggest lie in the world? Number one, the biggest lie in the world is to believe there is no God. That is the biggest lie invented by Satan, invented by man, invented by atheism, invented by an anti-God propaganda and speculation. You know, the biggest lie, number two, is not to believe that you and me, we are sinners. Lie number three, biggest one, is to believe that you can gain God's favor by good works, by your own merits. You can deserve it. You can pray. You can fast. You can have pilgrimage. You can have tears. You can have prayers. You can go through a priest, or you can give alms in order to satisfy the righteous indignation of the living God. It's impossible. It's impossible. My dear friends, if God is not sure, I ask myself, if I cannot trust God, then who else can I trust in this world? Where else can I go? So there must be an absolute truth somewhere on which we can rely and on which we can depend. And that's why this verse, as I said, it can be really overlooked. But it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God makes no suggestions. He makes no suppositions. He makes no speculations. He makes no theories. You know, the theory of evolution is just a theory. Science never proved there is no God. It's just a theory. But God makes no theories. He has no hypothesis. No fake news. That's the new trend nowadays. Fake news, fake news. God has no fake news. He will not tell fibs, only the truth. He is only the truth and nothing else. As a father, I hope as a good father, fathers, as a good father, you will never lie to your child. But God is the perfect father. God cannot lie. He loves us too much to tell us a lie. It's impossible from God. So I'm saying these things for you to trust the Bible. If you don't trust the Bible, I wonder what else can you trust? The government, they will let you down. The banks, we know so well. They bankrupt day after day, year after year, and they let us down. They forsook us. Even what we deserve to get from them, they do not give it to us. But God, Bible says, God cannot lie. No wonder when people go and witness in a court, they have to swear. Why? Because no one is trustworthy. Otherwise, why should we swear in a court? Your yes should be yes and your no should be no. But we are so flippant. We are so volatile. So God is dependable. Please allow me to dwell a little bit before I come to my second heading. There are so many facts, so many evidences, historical evidences that shows to us that God cannot lie. Can I just rest upon two or three of them? You remember in the book of Genesis what God said to Adam and Eve. The day you shall eat the fruit of the tree, what should happen to you? You shall die. Satan said the opposite. Satan said, no, God is hiding something for you. But you know, I'm sure, what did happen? Yes, Adam lived 900 years and more, but as soon as Adam have sinned against God, they ate the fruit of the tree, which God said they shouldn't eat. What happened? Their situation started to deteriorate, worse to worse. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God said he's going to send the one we call the seed of the woman. And we know the seed of the woman is the Savior. My dear friends, you know what? It took, let's say, 6,000 years, but it did happen. The Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came and he died on the cross of Calvary. You know, it says the seed of the woman, not the seed of man, meaning the Savior will be born from a woman without the intervention of man. It is a miracle. It is a miracle. The only one. That's why he could be our Savior. Then you remember in the time of Noah, God warned the people. Noah was the preacher of righteousness. He warned the people. He said to the people, if you do not obey God, if you do not listen to the voice of God, what is going to happen? They have never seen rain in that time. But very soon, it lasted 120 years. But guess what? They didn't listen to Noah, and the flood came. It was a universal flood. How many were saved? Only 8. Why? God said it. It did happen. And then, as I said, we could multiply the examples. There are so many of them. God said to the people of Israel, if you do not obey me, you will be taken as slaves. You will be taken into exile. They didn't heed to the voice of God. But guess what? It did happen. But God in his mercy, in his grace, also said to them, it will last 70 years. And guess what? God prompted a pagan king, Cyrus, whom God is calling my servant. And that king decreed a decree for the people of God in that time to go back to their land. And so many other examples. Again and again, God said, I'm going to send my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead. He's going to come. And guess what? What happened? It happened exactly the way God said it. And what God said Christ is going to achieve and do, Christ did exactly what God said he's going to do. Another miracle. It did happen. People didn't trust that, but it did happen. Even to his own disciples, he said to them, I'm going to die on the cross of Calvary. They should know better. but you may think that's too far. What about you and me? You know what God says about you and me? He said the soul that sinneth should what? The soul that sinneth shall die. God said it. It will happen. So that's why we keep on asking you, trust in the Lord. Come to the Lord. He is the one who is righteous. He is straight. We are so disabled. We are bent. And God said, my greatest need is not good health. My greatest need is not just a diploma. My greatest need is salvation. My greatest need is forgiveness of sins. But I must come to the second one. The first one, as we said, who is God? This is his character. God cannot lie. But this God who cannot lie, the verse tells us, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. What did he promise? That's the second question. What did he promise? We are given the answer here. And he promised everlasting life. The crown of all God's promises is eternal life. The hope of eternal life. Please, when you read the word hope in the Bible, it means certainty, absolute confidence, absolute certainty. There is nothing to wish. Oh, I wish. It is not a wish anymore. Everlasting is not a wish. Maybe you are there saying, oh, I wish I have eternal life. No, eternal life, according to the Bible, is a gift. It's a gift from God. What do? I receive it. I take it in. And I give thanks to the Lord for such a gift given to me, free of charge. So eternal life is God the promiser. God is the promiser, not a man, not an angel, not a terrestrial or an earthly king or queen, but God himself. You know, if it was you promising to me eternal life, I won't believe you. It's impossible. You cannot give me eternal life. I cannot give it to you. But God, that cannot lie. That's really the confidence we have. He cannot lie. It's impossible. And he promised everlasting life. Heaven is coming. It is real. It is a place. It is pure. It is personal. And it is permanent. What is eternal life? Eternal life is the life of the eternal. The life of God himself. Christ gave us a definition of eternal life in John chapter 17. And he said, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God and the one whom thou hast sent, Jesus Christ. So what is eternal life? It's to believe in Jesus Christ. And you have that life. Eternal life is better than eternal existence. You know, there will be eternal existence. Satan will exist eternally. The people who are in hell will exist eternally. But they do not have eternal life. Eternal life is given only to the person who trusts on the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary. Eternal life is resurrection. Here I am, dead in my sins and trespasses, and I hear the word of God, the Holy Spirit works in my heart, and I'm risen from the dead. That's eternal life. Eternal life is the life in the soul. My soul is there dormant, but I need life in order to stand before the living God. Eternal life is better than having millions of friends. Eternal life is better than having good life. But eternal life is eternal fellowship with the eternal God. Why? Because sin separates us from God. But as soon as I trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, I have that eternal fellowship. There is nothing such a relief. It's a great relief. For the soul, for the being, your mind. You know, some people, they do not sleep well. Why? The guilt on their sin, on their conscience, and on their soul, on their whole being. But eternal life is to have peace with the living God. But thirdly, when did God promise eternal life? Look at the verse again, in verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You see, I'm not calling you tonight to a new fad or novelty. I'm not calling you tonight to a new experience. Some people are looking for new experiences. I'm not calling you to a new adventure. But I'm inviting you to good news. And the good news is something God has promised before this world began. This hope is more ancient than the world. It is not based on our clocks. It is not based on our time, because God is outside time. God is outside our space. He is eternal. The God that cannot lie promised salvation before time's eternal. Through the record of history, God unfolded his plan without a mistake. God unfolded it in its planning, in its execution, in its fulfillment, but also in its proclamation. God gave it to us through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything happened exactly as God planned it. And his promise is from eternity past, but its purpose can take place tonight in your soul and in your life. And this is what God said in verse 3, in the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. That's why we preach the word of God. The plan was already made. It is before Adam. It is before the creation of this world. It is as old as God himself. But it is taking place tonight if you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God has long time ago given us that promise. So you can see the stability of God's promise. You can see its antiquity, but also you can see its veracity. Long, long standing promise God made to save men and women. I must come now to the fourth one. We saw the character of God. Who is God? The second is his promise. What did he promise? Thirdly, when did he promise it before the world began? And fourthly now, how in the world God is going to fulfill his promise? And the answer is given to us. I will show you the verses in a second. But my dear friends, all God's promises about salvation have taken place because of the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from heaven to die on the cross of Calvary. So the merits of Christ, not the merits of the church. Some people think, oh, I'm a Christian because I go to church. Some people think, oh, I will be saved because I pray. Or I will be saved because I was baptized. Such things have no validity before God without conversion. So all the merits of Christ are the way to save our souls. Jesus Christ dealt with our lies by paying the punishment on the cross of Calvary. He took all our lies upon himself. My dear brothers and sisters, before I close, the three chapters of Titus, in each chapter, there is something that sets the tone. Always the writer, the apostle, is calling our attention on the Lord Jesus Christ being the Savior. So I will read quickly those passages in each chapter, and you will see the question, how in the world God is going to fulfill his promises, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is called on each case the Savior. The Savior. And let's start in chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. But hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Did you get that? Verse 4. to Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Go now to chapter 2. Also, the same is repeated there. Chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see that? He is the Savior. He is God. And chapter 3, the same thing is repeated again. To draw your attention, this is the one, the God-man, the Savior, by which God is going to fulfill the promise of eternal life. In verse 6, which he shed on us, that righteousness, to save us by the renewal of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according, the same word again, to the hope of eternal life. So that sets the tone in every chapter. How am I going to be saved? God is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior. God being the Savior, Jesus Christ being the Savior, it means that Jesus Christ is God, the God-man. Now, my last heading, what does God expect from you and me? After the character of God, after the promise he has made, after the salvation he has given before the world began, after giving us the Lord Jesus Christ, it's very simple. Nothing to complicate. I need to repent and to believe. I must believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior. I must believe on him with honesty and sincerity. I must believe on him with great honesty. Up till now, maybe you have never looked in your life with honesty. This is the night. Look into your own life. What do you see? Oh, certainly, if you are honest with yourself, you will see how far you are from God, how much you need God, how you need to come closer to the living God. So I must tell God, God, falsehood, bankruptcy, failure, dishonesty, disloyalty, sinfulness, deceit, pride, pretension, presumption, arrogance, and insincerity are all mine. But thou, Lord, thou art truthful. Thou art truthful. I'm dishonest. I'm sinful. I need thee, Lord. I trust on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I rest upon his eternal promises. And remember, God said, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. Lord, I do not wish even a sparkle of me to be in that place. I trust in thee. I rest my soul upon thee. That's the prayer of somebody seeking after God. And Bible says, who is a liar? But the person, the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Please allow me to close with this. No more lies. No more lies. Why? Because God is truthful. God has made a way to separate me from my lies. I must come to the Lord Jesus Christ with sincerity. Come to him. As I said, we trust in so many institutions, so many things which do not deserve our interest. Governments will fail us, but the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, will never fail us. This should motivate you and me to come to the Lord tonight. Salvation is based on the character of God. He cannot lie. So God said that he will not seek him in vain. Without Christ, oh, I'm saying this with the most polite and gentle way. Without Christ, you live only in lies. You live only in deception. You live only in a deceitful world. But you come to Christ, you find the truth. come to him to be given the greatest relief, eternal life. Believe on the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary. He is God's refuge for my soul if I trust in him. May the Lord help you to come to him tonight. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thou art great, thou art truthful, and we are all falsehood. All men are liars. All men are separated from the living God. But Lord, we thank thee that Christ took upon himself all our lies, all our guilt, all our sins, if we trust in him. Lord, help us to repent and to believe on that great sacrifice made on the cross of Calvary to purchase us from this evil world and to give us a place in heaven and to give us eternal life, fellowship, eternal fellowship with the living God. Lord, speak to us again and deal tenderly with us. Help a seeker to find thee, Lord, as we ask all these mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's close our time together by singing hymn number 393. Hymn number 393. So may these words be really the reflection of your heart as you sing them. Hymn number 393. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus.